Under Governor Walker's proposed state budget, rent-to-own businesses would no longer be covered by the state's Consumer Protection Act, which would mean they would not have to disclose interest rates. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, March 7th. But the rent-to-own businesses would have to disclose an item's price and the number of payments required to own it and abide by other new regulations. We will talk about this proposal with two different guests during this hour, one from the rent-to-own industry and another from a consumer advocacy group. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions. Have you or someone you know ever done business with a rent-to-own store? What was the experience like? Do you think that rent-to-own businesses help low-income people get furniture and appliances and the like, or do you think they prey on them? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our first guest is Jeff Labakins. He is president of the Wisconsin Rental Dealers Association and owner of Labakins Rent-to-Own Stores. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is your reaction to Governor Walker's changes in the state budget? You think he's doing the right thing with these rent-to-own changes?
Yes, I do. I think it's a great idea.
Why?
Well, because for me, it brings my competition back to the state, which I would very much like to see. For the governor, I'm sure, is looking at the jobs that we create. The industry would bring in approximately another 1,000 jobs. The state, Ashley has said that the increased furniture business would create probably another 500 jobs. Symbol Mattress has said it would greatly increase manufacturing jobs there. So it has a very big positive for the state.
Well, before we get too deep into this, explain how the rent-to-own business works and what is it designed to do and how do you do it?
Well, it's designed to give our customers options. It's supposed to be easy for them to get in. There's no credit needed, but it's also easy for them to get out if they find the need. They pick out whatever they want, and it's usually new or like new merchandise. And they simply have to make the first month's payment or weekly payment, and we deliver it to their home. Anytime while they're renting it, they have the option of either returning it and with no penalty and no further obligation, or they can also buy it at any time, and the price of the product goes down over time.
All right, let's say I'm walking into one of your stores and I want to rent a TV. So how does that work? I have to pay how much per month, and if I want to buy it, is it how much is that TV going to cost me?
Well, the rental rate will obviously change and the cash price will differ much by the size and the type of television you want or washer and dryer want or furniture you want, anything that you're talking about. The rental rate, you make that rental payment over with a TV usually around 24 months, on a washer and dryer or furniture usually around 18 months. Or actually, washers and dryers are for 24 months also, but... And like I say, the cash price will vary considerably depending on the size of the TV that you want.
Yeah, but I guess critics of the industry say that in the long run, I'm paying just exorbitant interest rates on renting this to own it. That I'm really getting ripped off. What do you say to that?
Well, they're not looking at the numbers very well. As far as our cash prices. There are other places that have higher cash prices than mine, but what they like to do is compare, say, with Walmart. Well, I'm not going to be able to compete with Walmart. Not too many people can. But I'm not the highest price around for cash price. And they also like to compare then what you pay over time versus their cash price. Well, again, obviously, ours is going to be more than if you want to pay cash, you'll pay less through us also. But if you have the cash and you want to go buy it outright, fine, go to Walmart, you're probably going to get a better price there. But if you're going to use your credit card at Walmart, I would suggest that you start doing the calculations. It's very well likely that you could end up paying more with the credit card than you would through rent-to-own. And you still won't get the benefits that rent-to-own offers that the credit card, you know, that the credit card doesn't offer. If service, something goes wrong with your television set or whatever, and you simply give us a call and say, pick it up and we need to have it fixed, and then while it's being fixed, I don't want to make my payment. That's not going to happen with your credit card. So those benefits that you get through rent-to-own that you do not get with your credit card. Or if you find out that you can't afford to make the payments, period. I don't think you'll be able to call up your credit card and say, come pick it up, I can't afford the payments anymore. With us, you can. And then any time, we have lifetime reinstatement, any time along the way, if you decide you can't afford to make the payments again, simply give us a call. We'll find you another item like the one you had, and you can start up right where you left off.
Help us understand how the current law, how your industry being covered by the state's Consumer Protection Act puts your industry at a disadvantage. What's unfair about falling under the state's Consumer Protection Act?
Well, I haven't read the exact language in the budget, but my understanding, the way we had it before with the original bill before this, is that it would actually be within the Wisconsin Consumer Act. It just would define our transaction, which it does, the Consumer Act does not now, and set its own specific rules on how it's supposed to be governed under the Wisconsin Consumer Act. But it also would not have us governed by those portions of the Consumer Act that go with a credit transaction. 47 state laws have passed saying this is a lease and not a sale. Guam, the Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, Canada, the United Kingdom, all have passed laws saying this is specifying that this is a lease and not a sale. The federal government sees this as a lease and not a sale. So Wisconsin would be just getting on board with everybody else.
Yeah, but there was a, wasn't it a state Supreme Court ruling said that this was a credit transaction?
In the state of Wisconsin, and that's why all the rental, other rent-to-own companies left the state, is because of the ambiguity in the state laws. And so since there is no specific language in Wisconsin state law saying this is a lease and not a sale, it was left up to the courts to decide, and they fell on that side. So what we want to do is get a law passed that defines and regulates this industry as a lease and not a sale, like everywhere else, and all the other rent-to-own companies will come back giving our customers more choices.
Yeah. So you really want more competition?
I was actually doing more business when I had competition, so I'm a small company, regional company, then I think I can compete very well with the likes of the big giants like Rent-A-Center and Aaron's and those kinds. I did before, and I can do it again.
Jeff Liebakens is president of the Wisconsin Rental Dealers Association, and he is talking with us about new rules for the rent-to-own industry that's in Governor Scott Walker's proposed budget. The budget removes the rent-to-own industry from the state's Consumer Protection Act, but does set up new rules, including telling businesses they would have to disclose an item's price and the number of payments required to own it and abide by other new regulations. Our guest says that this is a good proposal. It will help spring up new businesses in Wisconsin. We will hear from a guest after 7:30 who says this is not a good idea, that that consumers are overcharged for items at rent-to-own businesses. So what do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Checking the weather forecast for today, becoming mostly sunny, seasonably mild. Highs will be in the low to mid-30s. Stay with us. Coming up after 8 this morning, we will talk with the author of Sticks and Stones, Defeating the Culture of Bullying and Rediscovering the Power of Character and Empathy, talking about bullying after 8 o'clock this morning. We are talking for this half hour about new proposals for the rent-to-own industry in Wisconsin. Our guest is Jeff Labakins. He is president of the Wisconsin Rental Dealers Association. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a question or a comment on this. A caller wants to know if the rent-to-own business offers such a good deal for people, why does there have to be secrecy about interest rates? Jeff?
Well, first, there is no secrecy. There is no interest charged in our agreements. Therefore, no APR would be relevant. Matter of fact, the Federal Trade Commission did a study on this under the Clinton administration and said that an APR would be actually misleading because the fact is you're renting the merchandise and you have an option to purchase it.
So, again, that's the whole crux of this matter. You're saying you're not this isn't a credit deal, a transaction. You're not charging an interest rate. People are simply paying a monthly fee to rent a particular appliance.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's not just me saying it. That's 47 other states and Canada and the United Kingdom and everyone else and the federal government.
So I guess for those who just want to know how much extra money, whether you call it interest rate or not, that is being charged in order to purchase an item after renting it for many months, why is that such a hard thing to do?
It's not a hard thing to do. As a matter of fact, we do it every day, and it's done everywhere else. And in this bill, it would require that you list that. You would be required to list the cash price of the merchandise if you were to pay it off that day. It would also require you to put down the cost of lease services is what you would pay over that amount if you were to rent it all the way to term. So you get the rental rate, the term, and then the addition of, you know, it'll do the addition for you and give you the cost plus the cost of lease services, and this is and give you the total amount that you would pay all the way to the end. So I don't see where there's any secrecy, and I don't see why people would object that if they're worried about it being too absorbent of the price, what the total cost that could be is right there in the agreement, and the customer will have the choice and be able to decide for themselves if it's too expensive.
Victor in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Victor.
Good morning. Good morning to your guests. I am totally against this. Respectfully disagree with your guests. There's a term called 0% interest rate. It is inherent in the cost of the item. It is in the fine print. People just have to take the time and read it. They're not forced to hurry up and get involved with that agreement. I do agree one thing what he said. They have a choice of whether or not they want to buy that product or go somewhere else. My big concern is the demographic. I notice, especially here in Milwaukee, I live in the inner city, it is almost predatory, just like a payday loan store. Why are these stores located in the inner city where minorities and Latinos and blacks and working class poor whites live? So I put it in the category of being predatory.
Mm-hmm. Well, my stores aren't in any of those places that you're discussing. I have a store in Eau Claire, La Crosse, Wausau, Rhinelander. Those don't sound to be the inner city Milwaukee type places. I deal with everybody.
Yeah. Well, why do you think the rent-to-own industry has gotten such a bad rap, Jeff?
Well, mostly because people put out this kind of information that is just false. I mean, we do not. I'm not locating and fixating on trying to find preying on low-income people, but that's what they depict. They talk about these exorbitant high interest rates that don't exist. They talk about, well, my furniture prices, I'll match up with anybody.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are some things that are going to be more expensive than others, but, you know, furniture is a very good deal. It's a little more expensive for electronics because electronics have a lot more service involved with it.
Well, you know, Victor's not alone. There are some, including Republican Senator Glenn Grothman, who says this industry is kind of sleazy, that it does prey on low-income people.
Because he says it doesn't make it true. He also says And I've heard him many times talk about how he feels for these poor people. They're going to get locked into agreements they can't get out. Well, it's blatantly false. The whole purpose of this deal is to provide an option for people that may be tight on their income to get out of the agreement and not ruin their credit. I mean, if you're in a credit transaction and you can't make the payments, your credit rating is going to be hurt, and that could result in you having your mortgage payments increase, your credit card payments interest rates increase. It may even keep you from getting a home.
Yeah.
But with rent-to-own, if something comes up, you have an out. You have an option.
So, Victor, does that make you think about this any differently?
No, it does not. Because, again, I live in these areas, and I see it every day. The best weapon against organizations like this and institutions is people are going to have to be educated consumers, read the fine print, and, of course, shop, make comparisons, and don't get involved, because I see this every day. And people, they prey on people's needs. They need furniture. They need items. And these rent-to-own stores open arms. But it's because these people don't read the contracts. That's the problem. They're not educating themselves on these.
Thank you, Victor. You know, Jeff, Victor almost said payday loan places. Are you different than payday loan places?
Very much different. Again, they're into something that would get you locked into having to make a certain payments and that kind of stuff, where we are not. You come in, you make your rental payment, you get to keep it for that period of time that you rented for, and you're not locked in anything. You can bring it back if you decided it's too much or you just don't need it anymore. You simply bring it back. So, and you know, it's different from everybody. I'm not saying it's for everybody, but you take a family of four that's doing their laundry at the laundromat. I mean, you're plunking in $15 or so a week. Why would you want to go to the laundromat for that $15 a week? You'd have it delivered and have a brand new washer and dryer doing it at home. It just makes sense. But I do agree with them totally that please read the agreement all the way through.
Jason in Watertown is our next caller. Hello, Jason.
Hi, Joy. I'm still a little bit confused on the whole this is a lease and not a credit thing, because let's say I lease a car and after 2 years I give my car back. I lease a TV or rent to own a TV after my 2 years of paying, I get to keep it, don't I?
Yes, you do. Or you
Well, wouldn't that be a credit? Wouldn't that be I'm making payments and I own it at the end?
No, the difference is that in the lease agreement that you have with the car dealership, you have to make all the payments for 2 years. With us, you do not. You can rent it for 1 month and return it and be done with it right there with no penalty, no harm. But with the car lease, you will have penalties, and you are required to make all the payments.
Now, is that just on from your store, or do other rent-to-own places go by the same rule?
Every company I know goes by those rules, and the law that is in the budget would require every rent-to-own dealer to do it that way.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Jason. Let's go next to Roosevelt in Cudahy. Hi.
Hi, Joy. Love the topic. I just wanted to say I am in the midst of a rent-to-own deal right now, and I'm getting a laptop. And the reason why is because I went through a bankruptcy, and I know that to get my credit score back to where it was, I needed to get some credit. And the rent-to-own store that I went to reports to the credit agency, but I do pay 30% interest, and it's in the contract. And I have 18 months to pay it off. So that is what I would consider a credit contract, because they do report there is an interest rate. But other than that, if I hadn't went through a bankruptcy, there's no way I would go through one of these places. So it's a catch-22. It's good on one hand that they help you reestablish your credit, but at a much higher rate.
All right. What about that 30% interest rate he's paying, Jeff?
First of all, he's not doing a rent-to-own agreement. What he's doing is a credit transaction, and that through a company that does retail sales and does payments over time, and they do a credit agreement with an interest rate. You can do that. This is just a different option. With his, he's responsible for that merchandise, and he's responsible for the service, and he owns it. With us, with a real rent-to-own agreement, not what he's doing, we would be the owners of the merchandise, and we would be responsible for maintaining and keeping that product working. And he'd have the option of returning it if he chose he didn't want to have that unit anymore.
I am confused. So do you do it both ways, Jeff, but you just want to not have to have this requirement to disclose an interest rate?
No, I do not do it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
I do only rent to own, and what he's going through, I'm sure he's doing through a company like Get It Now, and those are not rent to own agreements. Those are credit transactions.
All right, I get it, I guess. So in our final minute, how important is this change in Governor Walker's budget to your industry, to, I guess, Wisconsin?
Well, it's very important to Wisconsin because all those businesses will come into the state and new businesses will be created by having the law passed in the state. And it would be good for the industry because now instead of other companies like Rent-A-Center and Aaron's won't have to have stores in states all around Wisconsin, they can actually be in Wisconsin. It'll also help Ashley because now they'll be able to. Ashley does probably more than 50% of its business is through rent-owned companies, but they don't do any business besides me in the state. So it'll be a big boon for Ashley Furniture also.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Sure.
Jeff Liebachens is president of the Wisconsin Rental Dealers Association. A different perspective on this proposal after we check the latest news. Should rent-to-own businesses in Wisconsin be removed from the state's Consumer Protection Act, which requires them to disclose an annual interest rate? We just heard from a guest who said yes. Now we will hear from a guest who says no. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, March the 7th. We welcome your thoughts and questions on this proposal in Governor Walker's state budget. And we also welcome your experiences with rent-to-own businesses. What was the experience like? Do you think that these rent-to-own businesses help out low-income people by allowing them to rent a piece of furniture or an appliance until they buy it? Or do you think they prey on low-income people by charging them exorbitant interest rates? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our next guest is Bruce Spate, director of the Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group, or WISPRG. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we just heard from an industry spokesperson who said the rent-to-own business industry is not a credit industry, that it's not charging an interest rate, so it shouldn't have to disclose an interest rate.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's simply not true. And this is buying a product over time. I mean, the whole marketing of this industry is, well, rent-to-own, right? You are paying basically installment payments, loan payments, in effect, to ultimately with the promise of owning an appliance or a piece of furniture. It is the same as taking out a loan for another product, and it's a credit transaction. You know, as we say, it walks like a credit transaction, it talks like a credit transaction, it is a credit transaction. And yeah, they dance around this to make the case that they aren't, so that they don't have to follow our consumer protection laws.
Yeah, so he explained, though, that if you buy something on a credit card and you're making monthly payments and, you know, decide that you don't want that product anymore, you're up the crick because you have to pay for it. He said you can just return this item that you're renting to own if you decide you don't want to do it anymore.
Right. Well, that is one distinction between your typical credit transaction, but it doesn't change the fact that you are buying a product over time. And as you discussed before with your previous guest, the Wisconsin Court of Appeals has ruled this is a credit transaction. Again, it walks like a credit transaction. You are buying a product over time. And as one of the callers pointed out, too, this is buying a product over time. You're making a payment each month or each week towards owning a product. It's a credit transaction. And so, therefore, the industry should not get special treatment.
So the new rules would still require the rent-to-own industry to disclose an item's price, the number of payments required to own it, and a few other things. So isn't that good enough? We it's going to cost X amount of dollars to own this TV after 2 years.
Well, yeah. I mean, these are false protections. This is an effort to cover up what they're really trying to do, which is get out of having to follow our consumer protection laws and say, oh, well, we're going to do a few things here to give consumers information. So actually, we're protecting consumers. But in reality, this is a special interest carve out in industries that's saying we should get special treatment and not have to follow Wisconsin laws that other credit industries, credit businesses in the state of Wisconsin have to follow so that, we can operate our business and play by a different set of rules. And, that's bad for consumers. There's a reason why we have stronger protections for credit transactions. And they shouldn't be able to get out of playing by those rules like everyone else does.
Explain why Governor Walker's proposals would be bad for the state.
Well, I think the primary issue here is that they should play by the same rules, and they should have to disclose to consumers the same information as other credit businesses in the state. I think the other concern, though, is why are we taking up policy in the budget like this? I mean, if we really feel like this is a worthwhile thing to do, let's go through the normal avenues of legislation in Wisconsin, and let's bring this up as bill in the state, which has been attempted before, but this just seems like a sneaky, backhanded way to push through a carve out. And, I think it is really, it's concerning that the governor has put this into the budget, because I think it is a way to try to sneak it through. And so it's good that we're talking about it, because consumers need to understand and know that, this is something that is weakening protections for them. And it's not what we should be doing in Wisconsin. And, and also for an industry that doesn't have a great track record. I mean, let's be clear here. This industry is welcome to do business in Wisconsin right now. And your previous guest is doing business of this nature in Wisconsin right now. They're a rent-to-own business, and any other rent-to-own business can operate in Wisconsin right now. So it's not like they're banned. They're not allowed to do business. This is just saying they don't have to operate by the same rules. And they get a carve out. So it's a horrible way to do this, and it would be a horrible step for consumers in the state of Wisconsin.
But tell us why it's a horrible step for consumers, whether or not it's in the budget or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you have a credit product, it's important to know what the annual percentage rate is, the APR is, and to have basic information about what you're paying for the product. And in addition to that, this bill, or rather what the governor has put into the budget, would cap damages on individual lawsuits. And, this industry has a track record of, not treating consumers in the best way always, being threatening at times, calling consumers who sign these agreements before their payments are even due, going to their homes, knocking on their doors, peering in their windows. That's not to say that all of these businesses are doing that, but they have a track record of not always engaging in the best practices. So, to welcome them and to create a carve out for an industry that, really hasn't had a great track record seems like a bad idea.
So what do you say to all those other states. Our guest said that Wisconsin's just one of the few holdouts that don't operate under the way Governor Walker is proposing.
Well, the industry has been effective in a number of states in creating exactly the carve-out that Governor Walker is proposing in his budget. And this is a $7 billion industry. To us, this epitomizes kind of special interest lobbying and advocacy where, a business that has the resources is able to go in and convince elected officials that they need special treatment. And so in many states, they've been effective. In Wisconsin, along with a few others, North Carolina being one of them, Vermont, that have not created this carve out and have said, look, these businesses are welcome to operate in our states, but they have to follow the same rules as the other credit businesses.
Yeah. Any thoughts? Jeff Liebacken said that more of these businesses would come to Wisconsin should these changes be made.
Well, yeah,
that it would mean jobs. That's what he was saying, is that we'd have more business and more jobs if this unnecessary regulation was removed.
Yeah, I don't know. Certainly if you look at other states that have created this carve out, it does seem to open the door for the industry. But, again, they're welcome to operate here. Jeff's business is operating here now. I can't speak to the decisions they make as a business, but what I know is that they can come here now, but they need to follow the same rules. And this is just a basic consumer protection of a credit transaction that you know what the APR is for a credit product.
Bruce Spaeth is our guest, director of the Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group, or WISPRG, talking with us about this proposal in Governor Scott Walker's budget that would remove rent-to-own businesses in Wisconsin from being covered by the state's Consumer Protection Act, which would mean they would not have to disclose their interest rates. What do you think of this? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Becoming mostly sunny today, seasonably mild with highs in the low to mid-30s. Stay with us. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we're going to talk about bullying with the author of the new book, Sticks and Stones. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we are talking about new rules, proposed rules, for the rent-to-own industry in Wisconsin with a guest who is critical of these new rules, Bruce Spaeth, who is director of WISPRG. Our first caller for him is Ed in Shorewood. Hi, Ed.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I agree with your guest, and I wanted to ask him what we can do to try to prevent this from passing.
Yeah, well, I think the most important thing is to contact your representative, your state representative, and your state senator, and urge them to oppose this. And it's important to note that there is a lot of opposition to this carve out. Republicans and Democrats have come out against this. In fact, in Wisconsin, Republican and Democratic governors, Governor McCollum and Governor Doyle, both opposed these changes. So, there's a long history of bipartisan opposition to this. And I think at this point, the most important thing is to let your elected officials know that we don't want these guys to have special treatment in our state and get out of following our state consumer laws and let your elected officials know that.
What's your response to those who say that these rent-to-own businesses are providing a needed service for low-income people in that maybe somebody, we heard from a caller who had gone bankrupt and didn't really have good credit and was able to get a laptop through a rent-to-own agreement. We hear about, somebody can't afford to buy outright a washer and dryer.
Yep.
And instead of going to the laundromat every month, that they could rent the washer and dryer on a monthly basis.
Right. Well, I always find it interesting that this argument is made because we're talking about providing, especially when the case is made, well, this is actually making these products more accessible to low-income consumers. I don't understand how we're doing a favor to a consumer, any consumer, but especially a low-income consumer, by charging them two, three, four times the cost of a product, which is what these rent-to-own products end up being. The cost of what you would pay if you went to, you know, an appliance store where you bought it up front. And so our advice to consumers is, look, you're better off if you're paying $40 a month to buy a TV, save your $40 a month for 8 months and then buy the product and you'll own it immediately rather than paying $40 for 24 months, in which case you will have paid way more for the product. And the other thing that consumers should know is that many consumers fail at owning the product with these products. And by that I mean, part of the agreement that consumers sign is that if you miss a payment or two, you don't own it when you're done paying the monthly payments or the weekly payments. Now, sometimes they will offer, you know, you have to pay a penalty and you can get back into your contract. But there again, you're just paying more for a product that if you saved for a few months, you'd get at much lower cost. So, I mean, aside from what we're trying to do, you know, with creating a carve out, you know, our advice is this is not a good deal for consumers. This is not the best way for any consumer, but especially low income consumers, to go about, you know, buying a TV or a washer or a dryer. And I'd also point out that, in fact, if they bought it with a high interest credit card, they'd be better off. Because if you're paying two, three, four times, that's in effect a 100-200% interest rate you're paying, versus putting it on a, you know, 29.99% interest rate credit card, you're still paying much less for the product. So this is the worst option for consumers. We encourage them to find other ways to get their products.
Chris in Madison is with us now. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how you doing this morning?
Pretty good.
My question, I actually had two things. I missed the first part of the show, so that might have been answered, so I apologize for the redundancy, but why is this even in the state budget? State budget, my terminology, I'm not politically savvy, but the state budget is basically the financials of the state, not the legislative of the state, not the laws of the state. It's, we're making this, we're spending that. That's the first part. The second part is, how is this allowed? It is a preying industry because, like you guys said, they're charging three, four times what the product's actually worth. And by the time you actually buy it, the product is either out of date or needs to be replaced already. And I know other industries, car industries, you know, there's been difficulties where some dealerships tried to slam people into, you know, overpriced cars with overpriced interest rates, and they were stopped. I know of trucking companies that offered, like, lease to purchase things that federals stepped into, because at the end of it all, the people that were trying to do it ended up paying, you know, $500,000 for a tractor trailer that was worth $100,000. And I'll take my feedback on the off the air.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, well, Chris, on your first point, I couldn't agree more. I don't know why something that isn't a budget item is getting, you know, put into the budget. And I think that's a question for Governor Walker. But I agree with you. It's not the right place to take this up. And you know, if any legislator or any industry, you know, wants to create this sort of you know, carve out or kind of special treatment, then they should go through the normal legislative process, not throw it into the budget and try to sneak it through. So I agree with you. And I think that, you know, another thing to the previous caller's point, you know, contact the governor's office too and let them know that you don't support this being in the budget. And if you don't support it, that you don't support it at all, whether it's in the budget or otherwise, which is our position on it. But then to your second point or your second question, maybe what you're getting at is, should there be additional, you know, protections, you know, because these products are, well, it seemed like that's what you were getting at. And I mean, sure, we have not advocated for any additional protections. What we've said is, look, we have, you know, I think it's interesting. One of the arguments that the governor has made is this is actually going to put in place some standards and protections, when in fact it's weakening protections for consumers. So, you know, our position has been, look, let's make sure we maintain the protections we currently have for these types of transactions. And at the very least, let's do that. But sure, we might need to look at additional protections at this point. let's just keep in place what we've got.
Well, and I asked Jeff Libakins about why disclosing what the interest rate would be was such a burden, and the answer was just because we don't charge interest rates.
Right.
Yeah. I don't understand what exactly the problem. If though a consumer sees I pay $40 a month and I'm going to end up paying double the cost of the TV, what's wrong with that as the rule instead of an annual interest rate as the rule?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly we're not opposed to providing that information as well, but. You know, again, this is buying a product over time. It is in effect an installment loan. You are paying a monthly or a weekly. Another way to think about it is, you know, this is a high cost short term loan. I mean, that's in effect what we're doing here is you're paying these weekly or monthly payments towards owning a product. And you know, again, it's like this industry is trying to have it both ways. Where on the one hand they say the agreements we have aren't credit agreements because we're actually leasing the product, but all of the marketing is the promise of the American dream. Here's how you can own a TV or own a piece of furniture or own a washer or dryer. And so they, on the one hand, are marketing the product as owning it and providing a way for people to, over time, through installment payments, have a product, which is a credit transaction, but at the same time go, well, it's actually not really owning, though. It's actually just this lease agreement, and so it's not really a credit transaction. So and they're trying to have it both ways. And you know, I don't know why they have so much difficulty with disclosing the APR and being upfront about that. But you know, I suspect part of it is that you know consumers, if the average consumer, when they look at a product and see that it's a 100% or a 200% interest rate, I mean, most of us are used to credit cards, and we understand that.
Yeah.
You know, paying 30% interest is a lot on a credit card. So then paying 100% or 200% seems crazy. And it is crazy, which is, again, why we encourage consumers to seek other better options. But, again, the industry is already welcome to come here and, like other businesses, disclose that APR.
Katie in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Katie.
Hi. I'm calling because this is a topic that I've always wondered about. And I am currently working in the lending industry, and we certainly have to disclose everything. And it makes no sense to me that people who charge the highest interest rate would be the ones exempt from it, disclosing their interest rate. And it also doesn't make any sense to me that, as has already been discussed, the people that utilize this service are the ones who can least afford it. And yes, okay, there may be more jobs in that industry, but are those jobs in that industry worth making sure that our poorest people stay poor and have it be that they are less productive, less effective, and less likely to be productive citizens to anyone except those who are taking 4, 5, 3 times what a product is worth?
Katie, thank you very much for the call. I have just a minute for concluding remarks or reaction to that, Bruce.
Well, yeah, on your first point about it's interesting that you know the highest interest products are the ones seeking a carve out. I couldn't agree more. But I think that's exactly why they're doing it, right? They know they're offering a high interest product, and so you know I can't speak for them, but I suspect that's exactly you're hitting the nail on the head where they know it's a high interest product. They don't want to disclose that because they know that that will make it easier for them to promote and sell their product.
Do you think that this is going to be pulled from the budget?
I certainly hope so. And we are working aggressively in the legislature to make sure we keep strong consumer protections in place. The laws on the books are good for consumers. We need to keep them in there.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Bruce Spaeth, Director of the Wisconsin Public Interest Research Group, or WISPR. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.